Welcome back to the Paula Gordon Show. I'm Paula Gordon. Bill Russell's here, and we're with Franz de Waal at the Yerkes Primate Research Center in an observation tower overlooking, is the word colony?
A group of chimps.
Chimps. And we were talking as we went away about adaptability. You talk about humans as being splendidly adaptive. Is this a primate quality? And why does it matter? Hello. What are we saying?
Well, humans are extremely adaptable species, of course. We have invaded so many environments, from the coldest climates to the hottest climates. It's pretty remarkable.
What is being said?
Over there?
Yeah.
Well, that's a female. Actually, that's his mom who greets him. That's a greeting sound that she made.
We've been greeted.
No, she greets him. She
wouldn't
do that to us, no.
We were talking about how adaptive we are in climates. Now, climate isn't something people think about much more than, oh, yeah, it's the weather. But as a factor in adaptation...
Now, of course, now that you have heated cars and air-conditioned cars and your houses, people don't even think about that anymore, but...
The species thinks about it.
Yeah.
Well, William Calvin talks a great length about climate and the ice ages coming and going have been a major driver of how we got to be.
Climate is the major thing, I would say, almost.
Really?
Tell us more. What is it about climate that has made us so adaptable, or is?
Well, we are technological species, and so we have found ways, either with clothing or with heating, or now with air conditioning here in Georgia, is sort of important.
Yeah.
We have found ways to insulate ourselves from the climate to some degree. But of course, if there's an oil crisis, we suddenly realize what's happening. You know?
Well, for millennia, our answer to that was to build a fire in a cave or out on the savannah or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a mediating factor with building a fire, but...
Well, fire's technology. It's a good start.
Yeah, but it's little scale. It's not like now when we can ignore it, right?
Yeah.
So how are we doing? Does this make us smarter or dumber as a species that all of a sudden we don't have to think about a major contributor to our adaptation?
We have many technological developments, of course, but basically if I look at chimps, what I think is that I see is that these are monkeys making noises.
Yeah.
That chimps are socially very similar to us. Technologically, they're very different. They don't have the brain power to develop all that.
What are we hearing?
This is a male intimidating a few others.
Uh huh.
By banging some doors.
Works for me. I'm intimidated.
But you know, chimps are. They don't have the language capacity that we have, and they have a technology, and actually in the field there's very interesting observations of different, what we call cultures now in chimpanzees. Some groups fish for ants with sticks and other crack nuts with stones, and so you see different technologies, and in that sense there are cultural differences between groups of chimpanzees. But overall the technology is not nearly in any way as developed as what we do.
Now, you said two things in there. You said that their technology is different, but you also said that their language is different. You didn't say they don't have language.
They don't have the human language capacity, but they have a lot of nonverbal communication, as we call it. You know, we also have a lot of nonverbal communication. It's actually extremely important. People underrate that. And if you, for example, if you look at debates among politicians and they turn the sound off from the TV, you will see how important all that stuff is.
Are you suggesting we do that? Would we know more?
I did that once when there was a debate between Bob Dole and Clinton. I digitalized it on the computer. Started looking at it in detail, and you see them blinking and turning away, and as soon as, for example, Dole turned his face away from Clinton, Clinton would almost rise in status, like he would put his shoulders up and look bigger, as if the turning away of Dole gave him some courage or something in the debate, that sort of issues.
Your interest is in animal behavior. You're now working principally with primates. It would seem that animal behavior, there are two pieces of that. One of it could be pursued as pure science, just to know what's going on in the world around you. But it would also seem that there's some applicability to humans, to our own experience, and that there is learning that can go on from that. Is that a fair?
Yeah, that's a sort. Since I was talking about politics,
exactly.
our local politician Newt Gingrich had recommended my book Chimpanzee Politics to the Congress, to the freshman Republicans, I believe.
To what end?
I will resist saying anything about that.
Yeah, resist, Bill.
Well, yeah, no, I think what is interesting about it is that chimpanzee politics is done by means of coalitions. And of course, that's
coalitions.
And I think that's the thing that appealed to him and to many politicians, is that they are entirely familiar with that system.
Yeah.
Is that you don't become the dominant male by size or strength necessarily. You become the dominant by forming coalitions, which means that you need to be popular and you need to make deals with others. You need to promise them something. If you help me, I will do that for you. And I'm not saying that chimpanzees can necessarily promise each other, but they do make that sort of deals where the partner who helps another male become the dominant male gets something out of it. And so there is that sort of transactional quality to it.
I was struck at the complexity of the relationships within the community, both horizontally and vertically.
You mean the chimp community or the Congress?
The chimp community. We'll get to the other later. I simply hadn't thought about it, but it's just immensely complicated. It requires, memory scorekeeping of some sort.
Well, it shifts so much, yes?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, the memory, the record keeping, so to speak.
Yeah, they don't walk around carrying lists of who's done what to whom.
But we've done a very prolonged study here in the last couple of years where we do food tests. We throw from this tower, actually, we throw food into the enclosure where we then see how the chimps share it. Because chimps are a special species. There are not many species who share food very well, but chimps are very good at it. So then they cluster around the food and they share it. And before we do these food trials, we measure who grooms whom and for how long. The chimps spend a lot of time grooming each other. And so we started relating those two things, and there's a very clear relationship. That is, if I groom you for a long time in the morning, my chances of getting food from you are much increased in the food trial. And they're very selective about it, so it's not a sort of general good mood. It's like I get in a good mood and I start sharing with everyone. No, if you have groomed me, it's specifically with you that I share more than just anyone else. And
that sounds quite calculating.
Yeah, well, we do it only over like a 2-hour, 3-hour period, but at least for those 2 or 3 hours, they seem to keep track of things that have been done to them.
What are we talking about now?
This is again the alpha male.
But these are relatively stable.
What, is he trying to tell us that he's the big kid?
Yeah, he goes into those intimidations now and then. As long as he doesn't hurt anyone, it isn't bad.
This is not random, though. Presumably there's a development over time, but they get up in the morning with essentially the same community they went to bed with. The relationships are the same.
Yeah.
The alpha male is the same, though that will change over time.
That cannot change overnight, no.
Mm.
No, if
over time,
if,
yeah.
If alpha males change, which is exactly the process that I documented in chimpanzee politics, the power struggles, that's something that takes 2 or 3 months at least. In the field, there are a few observations of sudden changes in a big fight where a male suddenly loses power. But I think most of the time, there's a lot of preparatory movement for that. The coalitions are falling apart or being built up. And actually, the field workers who see a big fight like that and a sudden change, they may have missed some of that.
Well, and to go back and see what really was driving that, which is essentially like politics.
Yeah.
Now, there's something happening there. They aren't just walking around making noises.
No. Now they're seeing a caretaker walk. I don't know what the caretaker may be carrying food, or they may think that they get food.
So this is just vocalization around something they want?
They get excited, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They're very active.
Yeah.
Are they like humans in that? There's almost a human restlessness.
Well, they cycle in the sense that sometimes they sleep for an hour and then they groom for a while, and then they walk around, and then they have some fighting periods or something. And
as I watch them, I'm back to where we started this conversation. We're going to be back in a minute. Bill's telling me that we're going to pick up this thought in just a moment. Stay with us. This is the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are here with Franz de Waal, who has invited us to the observation tower at the Yerkes Primate Research Center, whom you will hear in the background as we go away. Come, stay with us. We'll be right back.